What comes easy won't last long. What lasts won't come easy.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Heidi ho! Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast, streaming live on digital stream radio. You can listen live every Monday at 6:30-ish, big time-ish, by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. On today's show, we're going to return with the next installment of From Top to Bottom with the great Dr. Evan Goldstein. The good doctor gives us relevant medical advice for gay men everywhere. Today's topic is going to be very interesting. It's all about swamp ass. But anyway, my name is Tom, and I am your host. And as always, I'm here with my amazing co-host, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all. Nick or Trish.
And
good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to The Dish. So, aside from top to bottom, it's going to be just us boys on the show today.
Yay.
We have no guest.
Yeah, I've had a lot going on. I haven't booked anybody in a while.
No, but it's been crazy. And, you know, it's summer. We're literally in the last tail of the summer, right? It's August. In 4 weeks, it'll be Labor Day. And next thing you know it, leaves are falling. And I'll be bitching at everybody
you
from here to Kingdom Come.
A very important moment between today and Labor Day.
You're right. I'm moving on Friday.
Yeah. No. Between today and Labor Day.
I gotta go.
Nick, it's Nick's birthday coming up.
His yes,
birthday is on Sunday, and he'll be 31.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. No, he's 25. He's still 25. But it's been an interesting week nonetheless. I've been doing a lot of running around today, and but we'll explain. But how are you boys? Why don't we start with you, Chris? How are you?
I'm good. Super busy.
I can imagine.
And Chris is going to be sober on today's episode, so cursive Boo. Will be limited. Yes, Chris has a lot to do. No, but I'm good.
There's a reason why, Chris. You want to tell him why?
Well, I'm just moving, so I have a lot of shit to do when we're done recording.
Girl, when I moved, beer and liquor were a requirement.
We had packing parties. They were the best.
Yeah.
I just have to.
Well, he's having a packing party tonight, and he's eating pizza.
Well, I have to, yeah, I'm being bad. I'm having pizza.
Why don't you have a white pie? They may not, still have.
It's the cheese.
Yeah, it's the cheese.
I peel my cheese off. Sorry, people. I know that sounds terrible.
But why don't you have them make
it? It's not even pizza.
Uh-huh.
No.
It's pie with sauce.
That's not pizza.
Well, why don't you get a pie with sauce and have them sprinkle goat cheese all over it?
The goat cheese would be nice, but this guy's on a budget right now.
Okay, well.
Yes.
All right.
Well, that's me, yes. So what about you guys? How are you?
How are you, Trish?
I'm good. I had a crazy fun weekend, but I'm good. Actually, I went to New York State with our old co-host, Paul. We went to his sister's and brother-in-law's Catalina Wine Mixer, and it was so much fun. We had such a blast.
So I was watching your Snapchat story, and if you guys don't follow Nick on Snapchat, you should. That's very fun. And I noticed that you guys had a big block of ice that you were dripping from.
Yeah, oh, an ice luge.
They have an ice luge. Yeah, so Lou broke it out. We ate first, and then we broke out the ice luge.
Lies. They drink their calories.
No, honey, she ate. She needed to eat. That party is it's like, imagine Paul,
on
but
steroids.
All day.
Oh, God.
And like, seriously, Lou was like, what do you want? And I was like, I don't know, like I normally drink tequila. We went through a bottle of Veuve, a bottle of tequila, a bottle of Tito's, a bottle of Cupcake. There was a whole bunch of people there, so like,
That's why I went through a bottle of lube?
Veuve.
Oh, okay. I didn't know this was an orgy.
Mm-hmm.
No, and it was like, it was so much fun. I did, at the end of the night, almost punch a bitch in the face, but it's fine. It's fine.
Oh.
So there was this girl there, and she was like
getting annoying and
drunk. And like, then she started cooking random food in Jess's kitchen, who is Paul's
sister,
and she's kind of anal. Like, you don't just go into her kitchen and start cooking. So I went upstairs to help because she didn't know where anything was, and I knew where everything was. So I'm helping. Jess is standing there, not really able to help. and and it just turned into a mess, and she was just being kind of rude, and then I kind of took over because she was making a mess, and we would have had to clean it up because she probably couldn't. And anyway, push comes to shove, that all ends. We go outside, we're talking, and she starts talking about ghetto this and ghetto that, and somehow it came up like where ghettos came from. And she was adamant that ghetto came from something that I'm not going to say on the air. And I had to correct her in front of all these people. And I was like, but you need to look it up online because you are 100% wrong and you're being racist right now. And I will not stand for that. And
well, now I'm interested to know what she was referring to.
Offline. Offline.
Offline, I'll tell you. But I let her know that, you know, ghettos, you know, the term came from the Holocaust. It came from when they built ghettos.
And specifically in Poland.
All the Jews before they went to concentration camps, and Warsaw, it's like that's not something like, especially as a white person, you know, the way ghetto has transformed now, like we just can't fuck around with that term and like not know what it actually means or where it came from, because there's such a deep history behind it, and it really bothered me. And I'm just like, okay, your ignorance and you being mess is starting to piss me off. And Jess realized and was like, okay, we're going to take her to bed.
Good night.
So,
bye, Felicia.
But at the end of the day, I had a blast. We had a really, really good time. I ended up calling out of work yesterday. She needed it, but that's beside the point. But it was a good weekend. I had a really good time, and I got super burnt. I'm like Indian red right now.
I am proud of you.
Yeah.
So,
what about you?
Me, well, Jesus, I had, it was very hot. I ended up working Saturday, and then Sunday I decided that I was going to go visit my friend Red. We all know who Red is, Ginger. And because I had, he's my landscaper and I owed him some money, so I wanted to make sure that I settled up my tab. And so I paid him, and then I said, you know, being that I'm here, I'm just going to take a dip in your pool. So we hung out for about 3 hours, and then I came back and ended up here at the house cleaning and stuff and taking care of the puppies. And then I went to work again, right? Because we had karaoke. Trish wasn't there because, again, she took the night off. She needed it. And it was really busy, so you missed out on a lot of cash, girl.
That's all right.
So after that, today I actually got up. I went and got some breakfast. I made sure the dogs were fed and walked. And I started dealing with my tax issue, right? Because here in the state of Connecticut, like in several states, but not most, we have to pay property taxes on our vehicle. So the city of New Haven, where I used to live, is still sending me a property tax bill. And I'm like, well, listen, I don't live there anymore. And I haven't lived there since last year, right? Because I bought the house and I moved into where I live now. And so I had to go back to New Haven and tell them and show them and give them proof that I don't live there anymore. And so they ended up expunging all that tax and said, okay, well, we'll send over the tax to where you live. And so I ended up going to City Hall here in my town and let them know, hey, listen, I went to New Haven, they scrubbed it, and you guys need to give me a bill. They gave me my bill, and I paid my taxes. So all I did was just give my money away to the government.
You just reminded me my car taxes are due August 1st.
Yeah.
Delinquent! I'm in the red!
You're in trouble now.
Since I didn't say what I did the past weekend, I want to say what's going on this upcoming Saturday. Especially, I'm going back to Tanglewood for John Williams night, and it might be his last one. So Michael Brown and I are going. John Williams conducting his own work.
So you're John saying Williams, that, and I'm hearing you don't care about my birthday because my birthday's on Sunday.
I'm going on Saturday.
Yeah, which means so, you'll be useless on Sunday.
It's my birthday week. I know.
It's my birthday month, bitch. Yeah, this exactly. is the 12 days of Nicholas. Get on board or get the fuck out.
Wait, it's a month, but it's 12 days.
Absolutely.
Yes, she's math crooked. Is hard.
No. My birthday's on the 12th, so 1 through 12, it's the 12 days. 12 days of Nicholas, and then after that, it's my month.
Excellent.
Get on board, okay. Or get the fuck out.
Well, if anyone's going to John Williams night at Tanglewood, send us an email. I'll be there with my buddy Michael Brown.
Well, send Chris an email, because we're not invited, so.
Send it to the Gay Talk. I don't give out my personal stuff. I get too much junk mail already.
Address it to Chris.
All right.
No, but other than that, you know, everything's fun. So listen, we're going to jump into some stories, but before we do, we've got our cocktail, our suggested cocktail, because, you know, we just can't get our shit together. So Christopher is going to tell you all about our suggested cocktail.
And the suggestion this week is a fucking book, so I'm going to go through it really quick. This is from thechunkychef.com. It's a summer watermelon lemonade. It's a blended cocktail.
Mixed I want with, one.
It sounds really good. The ingredients, it consists of 1 cup water, 1/2 cup granulated sugar, 48 ounces or 6 cups, because 48 ounces, what the fuck, of cubed watermelon. Remove the seeds. 1 1/2 cups of pineapple juice. 1 of those frozen cans of lemonade concentrate. 2 tablespoons granulated sugar. 1/2 teaspoon lemon zest, and 1 to 2 tablespoons of light corn syrup, or you can use lemon juice or water if you don't want it so sweet.
Can you indulge me really quick? Lemonade concentrate. Is that like a package
like
of
Kool-Aid? Minute Maid? No, it's like the Minute Maid. You know what? Like your freaking what are those things? Those biscuits, Pillsbury biscuits, come in like those little
the
round metal. Yeah, those round ones.
Okay,
it's like one of those things. It's like Welch's or Minute Maid, and it's a frozen
one. Oh, the frozen ones.
Yeah,
okay,
the frozen
okay.
concentrate.
Gotcha.
So, I don't want to go ahead and read all this.
Go for it, Chris. I know it's hard, but go for it.
It's you just pretty much blend everything together, and then you got to make sure to put it through a sieve because you don't want the chunk. You don't want to be chewing your cocktail. That's the most important
part. But it's nutritious.
It's delicious and nutritious. The most important part is when you're done with all that, you add a ton of vodka to it. And then you're
a lot.
But the watermelon hydrates you. So the vodka, it counteracts the vodka.
Mm-hmm. So it balances.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like pH balance.
Surely.
Lord, we're horrible. We're going to hell.
Okay.
In a fruit basket.
In a watermelon bowl. Oh. All right. There it is. That's your cocktail
that's
for the day. The summer watermelon lemonade. Enjoy.
All right. So we'll put a link on the post if you guys want to check out the cocktail and learn how to make it. So the ingredients actually is for like a whole bunch.
Yeah. It's a batch. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
We did something similar to this when Charnel came on.
Mm-hmm.
We did. But ours had mint and basil and...
We did a Labor Day. I cut the whole thing open, and didn't we just, like, blend the whole watermelon?
Yeah, I thought... Wasn't your sister here for that as well?
I think it was Amanda. Someone
bought a spigot to put it in.
That was Scott. Scott was here.
No,
anyway.
The episode... Okay, whatever, yeah. We're not going to argue about that.
Okay.
We have other stuff to argue about.
We do. So, we do...
Let's get to the arguing.
All right, so why don't we start with some stories? So we have a nice story that's coming from thehill.com. Eris Foley, who was the writer, wrote a story about a young man, Seth Owens, a high school valedictorian from Florida whose parents ostracized him because of his sexuality and has reportedly been offered a full scholarship to attend Georgetown University in the fall. So basically the parents said, you know, we don't want anything to do with you, your lifestyle or anything of that nature. And he ended up getting a full ride to Georgetown University. Owen, who graduated from First Coast High School in Jacksonville, Florida, with a 4.16 GPA, captured headlines last month after one of his teachers set up a fundraising page to raise money for his first year of tuition at Georgetown. The page, which initially set up a fundraising goal of $20,000, surpassed that by reaching $129,000. But now Owen says Georgetown has decided to offer him a full scholarship. And he said, quote, while the campaign has been ongoing, the professionals at the Office of Student Financial Services have continued to work with me to make my dreams a reality. Owen said on Friday in a statement sent to NBC News, due to their efforts and attention, they were able to adjust my aid package even further. My expected contribution now is zero. With these new adjustments, I will be able to attend Georgetown University this fall. And I thought that was amazing. You know, here you are, a young man with ambitious dreams to be able to go to school and get an education and be something productive and positive in life. And, you know, the fact that you are gay in today's America is still an issue and where that could be the difference between you achieving your dreams and you not having an opportunity to excel at what it is that you want to do.
But what's even more amazing here is that, like, we've talked about it on the show. It's like, mm-hmm. don't leave your home or don't come out until you no longer need financial aid from your parents. If you think that they're going to cut you off or kick you out, make sure that you're protecting yourself, right? This kid came out, and not only did he come out, but got support from his school to help raise money for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, found a way for the university he wants to be at to get him in there for free. So he's literally living the life that probably a lot of people out there want. There are ways. Like, just read this article and realize if you bust your ass like the gay community does and can do, you can do exactly what he did.
Mm-hmm. And it's also important to point out something that needs to get taken care of nationwide. His parents, he said that his parents sent him to conversion therapy.
Which, by the way, several states have jumped on board banning conversion therapy. Mama Kim has been sending us some information.
I'm gonna ban his fucking parents. Fuck
but it's worth noting. So you know, now here he goes. He has $120,000+ sitting in a GoFundMe page. Now the 18-year-old said that he plans to use those funds raised by the GoFundMe page to cover additional expenses he may have while attending the prestigious Washington D.C. school. In addition, he's using it to start a scholarship fund for other students. And I think that is really amazing.
Absolutely.
You know, he said, quote, "At the moment, I'm in the process of exploring establishment of scholarship to help the LGBTQ scholars who find themselves in circumstances I was in earlier this year. I am looking forward to utilizing the resources of Georgetown to help with this effort." So here is a situation where you have someone who's been victimized, right? Brought down, put down by his own parents, people that are supposed to love you. And he took that situation, came out on top, and now he wants to utilize the resources that are now at his disposal to help similar people in his same predicament.
So, Chris, what would we call that? Is he an accidental ad?
An accidental ad? Advocate?
Yeah.
Activist.
And activist. Accidental activist.
And here we thought we weren't going to hear cursive. Christopher, you're not even drinking.
It's because I'm nervous, I think, because I'm not drunk.
Oh, Lord. Here, have a sip.
No.
But either way, I think it's a beautiful... It's horrible, right? Parents, it is 2018. Get on board. Love your children. You are the most important part of their life. You are the most important part of...
You're their foundation.
How they will function in the world. And when you throw a youngster like this, an 18-year-old, a curveball like this, it is the difference between life and death.
It can be.
Literally. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, get on board. You know, we're preaching to the choir. Our listeners, you know, we are listening, or we have listeners that love the LGBTQ community. We have mothers that listen to our show, including Chris's, who doesn't like when he swears, but that's okay. But, something you know, like happened. Mama Kim and now Mama Sarah. You know, that are just wonderful, amazing human beings and are out there to just really nurture and care for those who just, that just need it. We are at our most fragile in our youth. And I think it is important for stories like this to be told. Mm-hmm. Even as upsetting as it was reading the first part about, you know, the parents kicking him out, it's what happens next.
Yeah, no, and this kid had an option. You know, he had two roads to pick, you know, mm-hmm. the road that can take him down to a place where he may or may not come out alive. But he chose the opposite road. And not only did he choose that, but he chose the opposite road that will help in the future other people in our community.
Of course.
And if a parent can actually ostracize their kid like that, what is unconditional love? It's not there. If you can't support your kid, no matter what, I mean, we had, you know, Dragon Dads on last week.
Mm-hmm.
They have every reason to kick their kids out, but instead, what do? They stood by their kids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was, I will tell you.
That is unconditional love.
If you're listening to our show for the first time and you want to really dive into a very emotional, a very informative episode about supporting your children, definitely listen to episode 126. Last week was just intense.
It really was.
And I do need to make a correction about last week. So last week, I said every news organization under the sun, NBC, ABC, and the story that we were reading about Sarah Cunningham actually came from CBS News. So I wanted to just throw that out there. You know, we start drinking and all the acronyms start looking the same. And I actually said the wrong news organization. So yeah, it was CBS News. So I want to throw that out there. But anyway, go ahead.
I mean, I have nothing more to say about this. I mean, I'm super proud of this guy.
It's amazing.
And I can't wait to see what he does for the future of LGBTQ+ kids coming to Georgetown and or other institutions internationally and nationally. I mean, I think that there should be scholarships for kids in his situation at every single university. We need to find people to fund those scholarships, but they need to be in place.
I agree. All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing that, Trish. All right. So why don't we jump into some of the...
Are you okay?
I had a shot and a drink, and I'm still drinking, and I haven't eaten all day. Yeah, I'll be fine.
No, there she is. Yeah. Okay, she hasn't eaten.
So, yeah, you know, Fat Boy hasn't eaten. You know, she's twisted right now. Anyway, Christopher, yes. Why don't we start with some of your stories? You've got a story here that's going to probably rattle my feathers and get me going, and probably Trish, too. So why don't we go for that?
It's kind of a sad one, but it has – there's some hopefulness coming out of it. Unfortunately – a man named Blaze Bernstein, he was 19 years old in Orange County, California. He was murdered not too long ago. I believe it was about a week ago. He was stabbed 20 times by a classmate of his, a past classmate from high school who turned to a neo-Nazi. Now, this person, I don't want to even give this Nazi his name any air, so I'm not going to say his name, but this Nazi... like I said, stabbed.
I think you do need to. I think we need to shame him a little bit. So,
well, he's getting his shame. So anyway, he stabbed Blaze Bernstein 20 times, and they finally moved his charges to a hate crime.
They should.
Exactly. And at first, without the hate crime enhancement, he was facing 26 years to life maximum, and now he's facing a maximum sentence of life without parole. Because of the fact that he's getting charged with a hate crime. But one reason I wanted to bring this up was because, like, the Democrats who are pushing to outlaw the gay panic defense, very few states actually have banned it. One of them being California, the other is Rhode Island and Illinois. That's at only three states. But should this have happened somewhere else, they could have possibly tried to use this gay panic defense, which says they suffered a moment of insanity, which led them to this, should the person had come on to them. And this could have maybe, I mean, it worked for Matthew Shepard's killers. You know, they didn't get life in prison because they were successful with the gay panic defense. Luckily, that's not going to work here. And this man faces life imprisonment. But I just...
Can we, before we dive into the gay panic defense, I would like to understand why they... chose to treat this as a hate crime.
Because
what were the specifics of the case?
Well, what they did was he pleaded, of course, not guilty to the charges, but then who are looking into the crime... No, go ahead.
No, because I was reading the news article, and it said something about him being a member of a neo-Nazi group.
Yeah, he was a member of a neo-Nazi group, the Adam Waffen Division.
And, of course, the young man who was murdered... remind me his first name?
Blaze Bernstein.
He was 19 years old. He was also Jewish.
Yes, he was
Jewish. So not only was this person in a Nazi group, but he was targeting someone possibly for being gay, but for also being Jewish.
Absolutely. And what investigators looked into, they looked into the person who murdered him, cell phone, his laptop, and social media, and they found large number of text messages and images expressing homophobic, anti-Semitic, racist, misogynistic, and anti-government ideology. So they knew that this person committed these murders because of their hate drive, their drive for hate. He hated the fact that this person was gay, though it was saying that he had even come on to this to Blaze in the past, and he had told him not to tell anyone. So it was probably he was having issues with his own sexuality, which led him to hate so much.
And you know what the sad thing is, that, you know, Bernstein himself, he was a pre-med student at the University of Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. You know, here's someone that's trying to do something good for himself, for the betterment of humanity. And you run into people that are just so horrible.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's like he deserves life at this point.
And something that was so sad about it, at a news conference, Blaze's father was saying, and this was a quote, "We suffer an added layer of pain from learning he was likely killed because of who he was."
And so, end of story. This is premeditated. This kid picked this kid up to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
He tricked him, just like just like Matthew Shepard was tricked.
Mm-hmm.
He picked him up. They went somewhere together. And mind you, this is in liberal California. Bernstein then potentially leaned in for a kiss. And next thing you know, this kid has been stabbed over 20 times.
20 times. And then, to take it even further, Bernstein was found buried in a shallow grave at a park near his parents' home. In January, excuse me. So this was back in January. This had just become... They added the hate crime to it. Right, yeah.
So you had mentioned that, you know, the kid was probably seeking Bernstein out. It says here that text messages from June of 2017 indicated that Woodward may have been actually...
Hit on him.
Seeking him out.
And that's what he said. He made promise, you know, he was like you said, hitting on him and saying, don't tell anyone.
It's you know, to the young men and women who listen to our show or are out there in the world, you know, in universities and campuses everywhere, be very careful who you're meeting. You know, if you're meeting someone that you don't know on any app or... Or even if you know them, they went to school together, these two. What I would suggest is that, you know, if you're really not comfortable with someone or don't know much about them,
but let's encourage
that you hang out in groups, right? Because you want to avoid having situations like this and where you find yourself in a situation where you can't get out of.
Mm-hmm. So I think that we each should go around and say one thing that we would do if we were meeting somebody for the first time, not knowing who they were, and we met them in a weird situation. So the first thing I did when I met somebody that I was unsure of was I shared my location with my roommate. And I said, if you don't hear from me via text within an hour, call me. Follow my location. If I don't pick up, come to where I am. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't know this person. Yes, was I attracted to this person? Very much so. But I didn't know this person.
Mm-hmm.
You have to protect yourself.
I did that with you. When I went on a little trip recently, I met someone online and we were talking for a few... We had several conversations and we decided to meet. And I immediately sent Nick a text message and said, listen, this is what I'm doing. I'm meeting up with someone. Here's the address that I will be at. Here's my location. If you don't hear from me within an hour... call the police and send them to the address.
And I did not. So what did I do?
He's like, are you done?
No. Well, I said, are you okay? How is it? And you were like, great. Everything's fine. Oh, and that's it.
That's it. As you were. Carry on, sir.
You know, you just have to have 20 eyes around you, you know?
When I went to meet Bobby for the first time, I said, I shared my location with my roommate. I've shared it with you guys, obviously. I said, what I'm going to be doing, I'm going to be coming home tonight. If you don't hear from me, make sure the ferry didn't sink, so I didn't go out that way. And everything was, and then I said, hey, everything's great. I'm going to stay out here tonight. And you know, it's almost 8 months later, and he hasn't killed me yet, so.
So, well, yet.
There you go.
I'm surprised. Honey, we want to do that every Monday.
It's just really important, and we should not be losing people like this anymore. Mm-hmm. I understand that this kid is younger, and who knows if this is his first or not first experience, but when you're excited about something, you don't necessarily think clearly.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be able to have conversations with the closest people in your life, his parents knew, maybe his parents didn't know, but you need to have someone in your life that you can rely on, whether they know it's a guy that you're going out with, it doesn't matter. You just need to protect yourself, not just with a condom, but with an army of people that will be watching every moment. And just like in any situation, have a fucking safe word. If I'm texting watermelon to somebody, it means get your ass to my location right now because I'm scared for my life. Mm-hmm. And or this motherfucker is crazy, help me.
Exactly. No, I mean, I agree. It's, you know, just...
And I'm not trying to make light of the situation. Right. I'm just being honest.
No, have a game plan. Listen, you don't know who you're meeting. You could meet a serial killer. You could meet the person that will change your life. Mm-hmm. But the point is, we need to be cautious. We need to be thoughtful in how we approach meeting people that we've never met before.
And this goes for heterosexual couples, too.
Everyone.
For anyone going out to meet a stranger.
Everyone. You know, it's sad that we have to lose someone so young and to this horrible way of going and having it not be a hate crime from the get-go, but you know, now it is, and we're happy that the case has progressed in such a way. Mm-hmm. And I hope that this individual has an opportunity to get the most time for his crime.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know? And justice should be served.
Mm-hmm.
America doesn't need another martyr. We lost Matthew Shepard, and he was a martyr for our community.
Mm-hmm.
And to watch more people die, whether it's gay, lesbian, or transgender, it just shouldn't be happening anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We all have a network. We all have a team. So you have to lean and rely on your team.
Right. And to move on from this one on a happy note, I just want to say what the words of his mother, Jean. We continue to blaze it forward for Blaze and for you, and continuing his legacy of improving the human condition, one intentional act of kindness at a time.
I hope that this woman has an opportunity to maybe sit down with Matthew Shepard's mother at some point. Mm-hmm. And
work with the Matthew Shepard Foundation.
They're going to do amazing, beautiful things together. And I really hope that she really takes this and build something beautiful like Matthew Shepard's mom did. I think that she did an amazing job. She was distraught and heartbroken, but she did amazing work afterwards that really solidified Matthew Shepard as someone that we will never forget, and mm-hmm. that never, we cannot go any further in our future without knowing that Matthew Shepard existed,
mm-hmm.
and that his loss was meant something. And will mean something, and will continue to mean something, because it was truly one of the pivotal moments in our culture, in our community, and where we said enough is enough.
Yeah.
And his mom was a big, huge part of that. And I really hope that they should
start a new campaign. Connect with the Matthew Shepard Foundation. Simple. Blazing forward with the Matthew Shepard Foundation.
Mm-hmm. TM. Or whatever.
I'm not going to TM shit. I want them to take it, and I want them to blaze forward for Blaze's memory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it would be an amazing thing. All right, so listen, we're 30 minutes into the show. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we've got more. Nick has got a story that's really going to probably just blow the roof off my house, but we also have the amazing segment from Dr. Evan Goldstein regarding swamp ass. So here's some music, and we will be right back.
My head gets caught in the moment, but my heart doesn't know it. Heart doesn't know it. Somehow I'm lost in the lonely, but it's too hard.
Do I fall in love? Do I?
right, welcome back, folks. That was Dance With Me by the incredible Davis Mallory. We're back from the break, and we wanted to... we still have some wrapping up to do regarding some stories, especially one that Chris was talking about. So we'll come back to him shortly after Dr. Evan Goldstein's Tales from the Tale.
From top to bottom.
Sorry, excuse me. Poo, liquor. Anyway, so I wanted to let you know that we do have a From Top to Bottom segment from Dr. Evan Goldstein, the amazing doctor who gives us all the best health tips. And today, we're going to talk about swamp ass. And if you don't know what it is...
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Right? So,
especially in Kathy's.
Here is our segment, From Top to Bottom.
Hey, y'all. You're listening to From Top to Bottom with Dr. Evan Goldstein.
Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Evan Goldstein, and it is full-fledged summer. With summer comes issues related anally, specifically to swamp ass. So we figured we'd kind of touch base on three specific things that I think are important to think about, especially during summertime. Let's start off with number one. Hair in the anal region can be both protective and a culprit. The hard part is actually to determine what's best for you. Either trimmed, totally clean shaven, and or lasered, they're all different options. But they each have their fair share of issues. If you trim and shave, please make sure you take the time to properly disinfect the tools you're using. Lasering your asshole actually hurts like a bitch, but it's definitely effective in delivering permanent results. I recommend doing your research and really figuring out what's best for you and your hole.
Hello.
Summer months really mean hot and potentially humid days. Just imagine kind of running around the city, the amount of sweat and feces and bacteria that builds up in your crack. My recommendations is to shower at night. Even better, use like an exfoliating bar of soap or some exfoliation, and really don't be timid. Once you're done, really make sure you dry off completely. Use a towel, and I even recommend a hair blower on cool if available. And really remember kind of to sleep naked or with limited airy garments. And also make sure your sheets and blankets are minimal as well. Really change it up and make sure that you're kind of in the summer mode.
Yes.
Most of us find ourselves lying around in a wet bathing suit at some point during the summer. Just remember that prolonged moisture in the anal region specifically can create unwanted irritation. Make sure you're wearing a quick dry fabric or just change to a fresh dry one. If there's a shower nearby or close, I would suggest rinsing off the chlorine or the salts, paying particular attention to those really hard-to-reach areas. And clearly, if you have the option, skinny dipping is the best thing for your skin.
Yes!
And lastly, you know, in conclusion, if you really tried all of the above and still have some localized issues, you can add some of the kind of over-the-counter antifungal sprays or powder to the mix, especially after you're showering and kind of drying everything off, and see if that gives some relief. If there's no improvement, then schedule a time to see your doctor for a full history and evaluation. This includes kind of swabbing for both bacterial and fungal infections, along with complete visualization. Summers should be for fucking, not really for irritating swamp ass. So enjoy the rest of the summer, everybody, and thanks for listening.
Truth on a stick.
Thanks, Doc.
Like, seriously. I freaking love that, man.
Hashtag swamp ass.
So, I mean, it's true. You know, just make sure that you stay clean. I think that one of the most important thing that I take out from all three of these suggestions is drying, making sure that you're really dry after you get out the shower.
That's very important. And make sure that hair dryer is on cool.
Exactly.
On cool.
Well, you don't want to be sitting there drying your balls with a hot dryer.
Live your life. If you want it on high and hot, put it on high and hot. If you want it on cool, put it on cool.
And if you want it to vibrate slowly, do that too.
There you go.
I got one of those.
Everybody wins.
Everybody wins. No, but it's important. You know, it's summer health, specifically crotch health is important because you don't want to go down on somebody and have it be all funky.
And I'm sorry. It has been so humid.
Mm-hmm.
I am not a smelly person. But when I get home at the end of the day, I need to shower. Like, I've been sweating. Like, it's gross.
Mm-hmm.
I need to take care of that whole region.
That's important. Wash it out. Get something scrubby. Scrub it. Yeah. Yeah. So thank you, Dr. Evan Goldstein, for providing that wonderful, you
scrub
know,
scrub it and dry it.
And
you
dry
know,
it.
You know what's interesting? Yeah, because we were talking about the wet wipes. Mm-hmm. So it's like the same type of thing. Mm-hmm. Like if it's wet down there, you're going to build up bacteria. You may, you never know.
Oh my God.
So what happened to you, Chris?
A girl I work with, her spouse sent a picture of something that he bought. He bought the... Oh, they talk about it on his website, on Squatty Potty's website, the bidet.
Yeah.
Tushy.
Was it
called Tushy? I think it's called Tushy. Someone I work with's husband bought it.
It's amazing. I want to get one. Used to have one.
That was the end of the story.
That's it. I just thought that was funny.
He got so excited. I'm like, I'm waiting for
it. I'm waiting for it. Like something happened.
No, I just love the fact that a husband bought it.
Oh!
So
didn't
that
buy
was
it for her.
That was shock value for you.
So funny story. My college boyfriend who passed away, his father. I don't know if I should be saying this, but he's obsessed with bidets. They had one in their bathroom, and I'm like, "What is this?" And they're like, "That's a bidet. So and so likes to use the bidet." And I'm like, "Oh." A straight man taking care of himself. I am proud of him.
Believe it or not, a lot of Europeans are very apt about
definitely.
That. Yeah, having bidets is very huge, especially like in Greece.
I'm just
in
waiting
Europe.
For the day that I can be like, Siri, blow out my asshole at Tom's house. Because...
It's coming.
Yeah, I know it's I know. Coming.
It's coming. No, but you know, seriously, they're very, very good health tips. Take care of yourself. You know, don't stay in a wet bathing suit all day long. It's not cool. It's not good for you. And wear sunscreen.
I did not this weekend.
Yeah, she's nasty.
She's red.
All right. So thank you again to Dr. Evan Goldstein for providing such wonderful tips for us here on the show. He does so monthly. I know that he took July and August off. But he will be back in September.
Can't wait.
With our first episode from Tales from Tale, so which we haven't had in the past 2 months. So I'm looking forward.
It's going to be a special one.
Yeah, it's going to be a great one. So, all right. So listen, before we left on break, we were talking about a story about a young man who was murdered, Blaze Bernstein. And Chris also had another story that he wanted to talk about, which was related to the whole issue that's at hand. And it was basically about the gay panic defense. You mentioned it shortly, but you have a story here that I wanted you to talk about regarding what's going on legislatively.
Well, we had talked about the story before. I just brought it up to remind that it's important that states push to outlaw the gay panic defense.
So we have 3 states right now that are on board, correct?
Right. California being one of them.
For new listeners, can you explain to us what that means?
What the gay panic is?
Yes.
People in court, especially when they're facing murder, they're on a trial for murder, mm-hmm. for murdering a gay person, they use the panic that the person that they murdered came onto them and it sparked a moment of insanity.
So they use that as a defense.
As a defense. And it doesn't get you off the hook, but what it has done in the past is it reduces your sentence because
the severity
you
had
Yeah.
And it also takes away the element of hate crime too, right?
Absolutely.
Correct.
Yes.
So in conjunction with the story that Chris, we were all discussing here on our show, it really just plays a role in what could happen and what has happened with the sentencing of this horrible person that killed this amazingly beautiful young man. So with that being said, we do have a story.
I do want to point out one thing just with that.
Go for it.
If a bill was passed to outlaw gay panic, if it was passed, the ban on gay panic defenses would only exist in federal courts and in state courts. The practice would still be legal, except in those states that have adopted the ban. So if it goes on a federal level, then it'll be banned in all federal courts.
And that should, I'm hoping that would happen.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So Nick has a story, and I'm sure it's going to get a very, very, very crazy, crazy, exuberant, not in a good way, response from him. And he's going to get very... crazy like he normally does.
What are you talking about? I don't get crazy.
No, you get nasty.
All right, so before I start this story, I'm just gonna like give you this. I want you to play something for us.
I will
play
it for
you. So that we can all understand where I'm coming from. Okay, so I'm handing this to Tom. He's gonna play. It's a couple minutes long, but he's gonna play it for us.
Yeah, and I just closed your phone. It's important. You know, talking about it is one thing. Listening to the actual... I'm going to pause it. Talking about it is one thing, but listening to what this man is saying is something completely different.
Yeah, and so this has been a couple years going on. I just found out about it, which I'm shaming myself a little bit for it, but let's listen, and then let's have a conversation about it.
This fight has come to us, and you know what I say? Bring it on! No homos will ever be allowed on this church as long as I'm the pastor here.
I'll put it this way. Any man who would have sex with another man would have sex with an animal. About 5 or 10 years ago, a lot of the stuff that I preached, people thought it was too radical. Now, to still me, is, bitch. LGBT stands for let God burn them. But now they're starting to see, oh, wow, he's right.
Gotta get live streaming for Facebook.
I'm here today to change the hearts of a lot of these kids within the church that are stuck, and people looking at this from the outside that think that this is Christianity, because it's not. Christianity is truly a loving religion, and is meant to love everybody regardless of who and what they are. The point of Christianity is to love.
I mean, I didn't choose that, hey, in the end times, before the second coming of Christ, we're going to have to be ripping face about a bunch of perverts and homos. I didn't choose this fight. This fight has come to us. And you know what I say? Bring it on! What's up, guys?
Oh, there we go, Mr. Anderson. There yep. we go.
In the flesh.
There we go, in the flesh.
Mr. Anderson, here I am. Easy, sir. So are you guys, homos or just sympathizers?
No, I'm a Bible-believing Christian. Oh, that's okay. The difference.
All of you guys pop out because you just say, I'm saved.
I believe.
So whatever you do, when you beat your wife, when you beat your kids, when you do what you want in sin, it's okay because you're already saved. That's why you're just a cop out.
You know
That's
what? It's
it
a sin not
That's
to beat
your
kids.
It's
a sin not
to beat your kids.
The Bible says, "Thou shalt beat."
Did Jesus Christ beat a kid?
Thou shalt beat.
Did Jesus Christ beat a kid?
He didn't have kids. The Bible says, "Thou shalt beat."
Man, here.
I'm done listening to man.
It's okay. You have a bunch of half wits laughing with you, saying,
"All right, see you later, man bun."
Trust me, you're far from saved. You're far from safe.
Yeah, I would have fraternized with him. Yeah, you missed it.
So, what do we think I feel about this?
I'm not even going to make an assumption. Why don't you just tell us?
Honestly, I don't know how to feel. So, I saw this, and this was from last week. It was posted last week, and I saw this, and I started watching it. And the minute he equated LGBT to
let God burn them,
I had to pause the video. So I hadn't actually watched the full video until today. And I feel shame as a Christian. I was brought up Christian. I'm not Christian. I don't align myself with any religion. But I feel shame that there's a man out there who has a following in the Christian faith that is promoting murdering the LGBTQ people.
That's not all he's doing. I mean, this man is spewing hate. Mm-hmm. Not only is he advocating for the murder of young LGBT folks or just LGBTQ folks, period. He quoted several times, the Bible says, "Thy shall beat." While someone was questioning whether or not he should beat women, beat children, or beat anyone,
while
period.
A level-headed person was talking to him about what he was preaching, he quoted scripture saying that thou shall beat.
What are you going to beat? I would pay you any money on this world if you would try to lay a hand on me.
Look,
but that's not the important thing here. The important thing is here, like you said, someone with this kind of rhetoric has a following.
So his name is Pastor Stephen L. Anderson or Stephen Lee Anderson.
Wasn't he the one that just got, he came to one of the universities in Connecticut?
I don't know.
I think he was. I've seen this man on the news before. And I think he had come to the UConn, if I'm not mistaken, or was it Central Connecticut State University? One of the two universities, I will double check, but I think it is. And it caused quite a stir. He's been actually making the rounds.
Oh, no.
In a lot of universities.
Yeah.
Throughout the country.
So he is the pastor in Tempe, Arizona at the Faithful Word Baptist Church. My uncle is a Baptist minister. My uncle and I have a relationship. It's a good relationship. Do we talk about my homosexuality? No. But we have a really good relationship, and he would never spew hate like this. Ever. Ever. This man is creating an environment in which any church he preaches at, he's creating a hate group.
Of course he is.
And people that stay and follow him are becoming part of that hate group. He is killing kids that come to his church that don't feel comfortable in their own skin, that can't be themselves because now their parents are inundated with Pastor Stephen Lee Anderson's rhetoric. You will see at any fucking church that he preaches at a spike in suicide. I guarantee it. This man is killing people. This man is killing our community. And he's in America. He's in the United States, and we need to stop him. There is no Facebook group right now against him. There's no Facebook group against his church. And I will be starting one. This man is a terrible human being because not only is he preaching hate, but he is killing our community.
You know, and
whether it's one kid or five, it doesn't matter because the way he speaks and the way he talks about our community,
it's hate
is breeding negativity and is literally everything that you grow up with thinking that you're a bad person and you can't live a healthy life. And you can't be who you are, so you off yourself. Listen here right now. You are a beautiful person. You can be who you are. This person is fucked up because probably, and I'm sorry I'm going here, but he's probably gay. And probably. He probably hates himself.
Probably. And we've seen that time and time again.
And he has a wife, and he has 9 fucking kids. And he's like, somebody said to him in an interview, well, what happens if one of your 9 kids is gay? Oh, well, that won't happen.
Well, why not? It's possible.
Oh, it's highly possible. We've talked about this on the show.
But they would never choose to be gay, you know, because it's a choice.
Yeah. Listen, last week we had a really good example of what being religious and having a conflict with your religion and how to handle that and how to support LGBT youth. Mm-hmm. We had a really beautiful example of that. Yep. Two amazing fathers. And of course, you know, there was Sarah Cunningham who's offering to step in and be a mother, you know, for those who are being wed and don't have, you know, their parents are not supportive and she wants to be that standing mom. You know, we see amazing, beautiful examples of people who are making a difference for our community and for the world. This asshole is not one of them.
He literally equated homosexuality
with bestiality.
That, yes, but then equated it to murderers. Well, he literally responded with the question of, What would you do if your child was gay? With, well, what would you do if your child was a murderer or a rapist?
What are you going to
do? That's not equatable.
No, it's not.
That's not fucking equatable at all.
It's not.
We're not rapists. We're not murderers. We're people who love people and living our life.
And that's all we want to do.
And if you think that God safely is going to burn us because we're gay, then, honey, I think you're going to get burned because God is an all-loving being. If that's what Christianity is preaching, then he is an all-loving being.
Yeah, he's going to be really surprised. I mean, a person like this would never get to a Christian heaven, but he's going to be real surprised should he ever make it to heaven. When he gets up there, God's a black woman, and she kicks him in the fucking
balls.
God's
a black lesbian, okay?
A black lesbian woman, right. Who's going to kick him in the balls back down to the firing Inferno where he belongs.
And all those who follow
him blindly.
And you know what kills me? So, you know, we are blessed and lucky to live in one of the greatest countries in the world, and where our Constitution grants us rights that can't be taken away, right? They're enshrined in our Constitution. And one of them is freedom of speech. But there's a big difference between freedom of speech and inciting hateful, violent behavior from your members or encouraging other people to do so. The Westboro Baptist Church is another church that has a habit of going out and protesting gay events or military people looking to just find a final resting place. And these assholes decide that they want to go out there and protest the fact that we're burying someone who fought for our country and who fought for the very freedoms for them to spew that hateful shit.
And you think about the fact that what we just listened to, he literally walked out of a conference and talked to protesters. And one of the protesters was trying to talk to him. And when they were having maybe a heated conversation, his response was to walk away and make fun of his man bun.
I'm done with man bun.
How does that make you a bigger person?
How does
that make you a bigger person?
He's weak. Yeah. He couldn't handle
the truth.
Yeah.
You know, I'm done with man bun. You know, have you ever seen on TV, it comes either early in the morning or late in the evening, this preacher that he goes to campuses and he argues with students on theology, and he's very arrogant, and students just like, you know, it's like, he reminds me a lot of him, except that this guy tries to come at you with the Bible, and he has an answer. The Bible has an answer for everything, according to him. And he sits there and has very heated discussions with students all over campuses, all over the U.S. He does this for a living. And he reminds me of that guy, except that he's not as hateful, but he's clearly just as stupid. But my thing is this. Our First Amendment right protects our liberty to freedom of speech and all that good stuff. But there's got to be a difference between – there's got to come a time in where we realize that freedom of speech and inciting violence
– there you go.
And
– you can't say bombing a goddamn airplane like you just can't say we should execute homosexuals.
Once it's inciting violence, it then becomes illegal.
Well, but clearly not. This man is literally spewing hateful shit on Facebook, and he's probably hiding under the I have a freedom of speech. I haven't committed any crime. I'm just simply talking that this is what should happen. It's an opinion.
No, right. What would
it pisses
make it,
me
what
off.
Would, oh, absolutely. But what would bring it to the point of it becoming illegal speech, when it would be real hate and violence inspiring speech, is when he's calling to action. When he's saying, you know, go through your kitchen, grab your knives, go into your neighbor's house.
And why haven't we arrested our president yet?
But here's the thing. I don't want to go there yet. I don't want to go to the president right now. Okay, I want to keep talking about him. I want to talk about the fact that in an interview, he literally admitted that he thought we should be executed, and it was the government's responsibility to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That in itself is inciting something within the government.
But
that is hateful speech.
But here's the thing.
He is calling for the government to execute homosexuals. And he's preaching in a goddamn Baptist church.
That's not what he said in the interview, though. He said that he's not saying that the government should go out and do it. He's saying that the government is responsible for it. But he's not calling to action. That's the important thing, which is why
he's saying the government is responsible for it.
Right, but he's not calling to action, which is why this is his First Amendment right.
But here's the thing.
Tallied up again.
Thank you, baby. When you really think about the rhetoric that's even going on politically, a lot of what he's saying is a lot of what the people who support Trump align himself
with. He said in the video, what was it, 5 years ago, people thought I was too progressive or too
radical.
Radical, thank you. Now,
not so much.
He has a following.
He
Why
does.
Do you think that is?
Well, because he has a platform and he has someone.
The fact
in
that this
government,
popped up in my Facebook pisses me off, but go on, sorry.
The fact that we have an administration that silently and not so silently and nonchalantly acts like they're not part of this, but they sort of kind of push that rhetoric and then sort of kind of come back and have Sarah Can't Fuckably Stand Her come on TV and sort of kind of spin it. This kind of shit is why these people get emboldened, because you have people in power that will facilitate these people with possibly getting away with stuff like this. Mm-hmm. Without having any accountability whatsoever for their words and for their actions. Now, we say it on the show all the time. We motherfuck the president. We do God knows what. Every word we spew out of our mouths is protected by freedom of speech, but that does not negate the fact that it has a consequence. And right now, what we're not seeing with stuff like this that can incite violence and really, really turn this country upside down, especially our community, is the fact that there is no accountability for the words that are coming out of this man's mouth.
Only, oh, no, God's accountable, he says.
Only accept what's coming out of the show, right? What we decide that we're going to bring it to light and say, no, you, this is wrong. And, of course, the people who are strong enough and bold enough to go out there and protest this man, which they should,
and they have
and then
been.
Confront him and look him in the eye and say, you're a bigot and you're an idiot. Mm-hmm. And you're a liar and you're a murderer, because what you're asking people to do is to take my life for being nothing more than who I am.
I'm a human being and I deserve every right that you have. And honestly, in my opinion, I deserve more, because you're a fucking bigot and you want people taken down. Mm-hmm. And you said, literally, bring it on. Bitch, it's on.
It's on. Trish is starting a Facebook page.
She said it's fucking on.
She said
you're
it
not
here.
A fucking. You are not a representative of God. You're not a representative of Christianity. You're a representative of hate, and you need to be done and out. And take your 9 kids to somewhere else, because you cannot represent everything that I was brought up on.
Agreed.
Go fuck yourself.
Thank you.
Steven Anderson
Lee. I was waiting for that. All right. So listen, we're going to obviously move on, because as we do, we have one more story that we're going to cover before we wrap up the show.
I just want to repeat one more time.
Yes.
Faithful Word Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. Don't go there.
Don't go there.
Protest it.
At least he didn't say burn it down.
Yeah. I would not do that.
I know.
Because it's supposed to be a house of God.
And
God
just
nothing, wasn't invited there.
I want
there.
Nothing bad to happen to his family. I just think that bitch needs to be muzzled.
Yeah. And you know, the
I'm
sad...
I'm going to send one in the mail.
The sad
Hashtag
thing...
muzzle. Take it, bitch.
The sad thing is...
No, I'm going to send him a ball gag, because we all know he wants one.
The sad thing is that he's got 9 offspring that he's teaching and bringing up on that shit. Mm-hmm.
They're actually cute, though. So I hope they grow up to realize that their dad's an asshole. And become actual good people in
God,
society.
I love it.
Regardless of if they're cute or
they're
not.
They're cute kids.
All right. So, Christopher, you've got one more story before we take this home and wrap it up. We thought that we would have a short show today, but that's not happening because, you know, we carry on. But why don't you talk about your story?
Well, yeah, with this rhetoric continuing, you know, there's going to be reactions and outcomes from it. And we've seen what happened with Waffle House Kim.
Boo.
Absolutely. And this one's kind of in our own backyard.
Wait. No. She deserves a truly heartfelt fuck her.
I was waiting for it. I was waiting for the moment for it. Well, in New York, two men were forced to travel to another jurisdiction after a clerk refused to grant them a marriage license because of her religious objectives.
We're back to this again?
Absolutely. And this was in New York. It was Dylan Tofton and his partner were recently forced to travel to a neighboring jurisdiction to get their license after Montgomery clerk Laurel Sherry Erickson refused to grant them a license. A deputy clerk in Montgomery will grant licenses to same-sex couples, but that employee was not in the office when Tofton and his partner came in. So this person said it's against her religious views to do so, even though that's actually breaking the law, of course. I mean, we saw that Waffle House Kim was thrown in jail.
Yeah, she was arrested.
She broke the law. But it was interesting how Andrew Cuomo's on CNN. Andrew Cuomo, the governor of California, right? Am I right with that? Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. No, NY governor. I don't know why. I was reading stuff and it confused me. He tweeted, "The denial of a marriage license to a same-sex couple yesterday in Montgomery County is an unconscionable act of discrimination that goes against our values as New Yorkers. I am directing an investigation into this incident to ensure that it never happens again." And he continued to say, this is an expansion of Trumpian philosophy. They are against marriage equality, and they are substituting their philosophy for law. I don't care if the clerk is opposed to marriage equality. That's her right. But she can't impose her will onto others in violation of the law. Absolutely.
And there you have some hope.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
So, speaking of Waffle House Kim, so you remember that gay man that ran, the gay man that she denied the license mm-hmm. to?
Who ran in that county?
He lost the bid, unfortunately. He lost his bid to challenge Republican County Clerk Kim Davis, who, as we said before, was sent to jail 3 years ago for denying him and others marriage licenses in the aftermath of the historic U.S. Supreme Court ruling that validated same-sex marriage in this country. David Ehrman was his name, sought the Democratic nomination in Tuesday's primary. This was an article, obviously, that was written quite a while back because I believe it was May 22nd. He didn't win, and I'm not sure who, if she's still in office. I'm trying to find out if she's even still there.
Their website is terrible.
Yeah.
It is horrible.
But
right?
It's terrible, yeah.
I don't care if it's a .gov website. Bitch. That's nasty. Pulled together.
So I was trying to read up on some stories to see if she is still there and what they're doing with the situation now. Because, I mean, obviously that was a very polarizing story for our community and for the way things were handled in the immediate, succession to the validation of same-sex marriages in this country. So I'm not sure. So... That right. being said, story over. We've got
yes.
a couple of more things to touch on, which is one of my favorites, actually, to be honest with you. We've got the Gay Talk Term and also on This Day in Gay History. So why don't we move on to the Gay Talk Term? And Trish, why don't you tell us what you have?
Okay, of course. Sorry. So I just want to say again, fuck Steven Anderson Lee. Go fuck yourself. This week's Gay Talk Term is brought to you, of course, by
UnicornBooty.com.
And it is warm up. And Steven knows all about this because warm up is washing a man's penis before coitus, affording detection of any general dripping. I think that was supposed to say venereal, but it says general. Hashtag autocorrect.
So washing a man's penis before coitus...
It smells like a vagina. Yes, that's what it means.
Ew.
Yuck.
So, of course, we know Steven's warmed up before.
And
so, Steven, this one's for you, honey. Warm up. Warm up because you've done it before, cunt. Brought to you by UnicornBooty.com. Anyway, moving on.
Not
I said the
really.
C word, Chris.
Yes, you did. Not My mother really. Will be very disappointed in you.
Who's Steve?
One of nine. It's like it goes across the board.
It's that Baptist minister that gotcha. No one likes, okay? Yeah, okay.
That's who we were talking about.
He's probably cut. But anyway, not that I want to know.
We're not washing his off. He's washing somebody else's off.
Let's move on to a history lesson.
Thank you. All right. Well, Christopher.
Yes, on this day in gay history, brought to you, of course, by
UnicornBooty.com.
I'm also going to continue not let Tom
not
say
really,
else.
Damn it.
That was good, Trish. That was good. So on this day in gay history, August 6th, 1862, in Illinois, a transgender soldier enlisted in the Union Army.
Stop it.
I found this a very interesting story. Albert Cashier enlists in the 95th Illinois Infantry and is assigned to Company G. Cashier goes on to serve in battle until 1865. His female body is discovered at age 70, and he is forced to wear a dress from then on. His tombstone read, Albert D.J. Cashier, Company G, 95th 3rd Infantry, until his birth name of Jenny Hodgers was discovered 9 years later, and a second tombstone with both names was placed beside the original.
That's
really
is
amazing.
Awesome.
The fact that they had both the headstones is very interesting, too. But yeah, that's a crazy story. I found
Holy crap.
This is the first one on the app in the long time where I'm like, oh, that's got to be the story today. That's a really cool one.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I think we should find more information. I mean, think about it. It was discovered. His female body was discovered.
Mm-hmm.
The age of 70. So he lived his whole life. Well, she lived her whole life.
No, he did, because Jenny was his dead name.
Mm-hmm.
Albert is his name.
Right.
So he lived his whole life.
So he... Thank you.
You're welcome.
So he lived his whole life.
Yes.
And then after his death, it was discovered.
Well, right? At age 70.
At age 70, it was discovered.
His female body was discovered, and he was forced to wear a dress from then on. So society wasn't like okay with that until his death.
I'm curious to see, okay, how was it discovered? You know, it had to be some lover because, I mean, like really, like who would know to, oops, not there.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's intense.
That's interesting. 1862. That's where our today in history comes from.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well,
long time ago.
I think it's time for us to wrap up the show. So, ladies and gents, if you love the show, make sure to rate and review on your favorite podcasting service. This helps others know about the show, and it also ensures that it becomes more visible within our podcasting community, which we're very grateful for. By subscribing, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as we publish our show. You can also support us on Patreon. I say this over and over again. It is an amazing service allowing you to help us and support the show with a pledge donation. The donations are collected monthly and can be in any denomination of a dollar or more. Chris?
And next week, almost like today, it's all about the dish.
I'm excited.
It's looking like just the three of us, but we may have a guest. We're waiting for a confirmation, so that shall be a surprise. Stay tuned.
And thank you, thank you, thank you to Dr. Evan Goldstein. We cannot wait to see you next week. Dr. Evan Goldstein for giving us so much information regarding swamp ass and how to avoid it and or take care of it.
Yas. But wait a minute. He's coming on next week?
No, we're seeing him.
Never mind.
I'm seeing him in person next week.
Never mind. If we forgot Trish had an appointment, she's going to go get her butt checked.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, you make sure you give him my love.
He's going to give me his love.
I may come.
That's all I want.
That's all I got to say. All right. Well, Christopher?
Well, if he's going to be checking out your booty, make sure he puts some rubbers on his hands, and we're going to put a rubber on this episode.
Booty.
Okay. All righty. As always, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Fuck you, Nick announces! You can find us on social media, Facebook, GayTalk 2.0, Instagram, GayTalk 2.0, Twitter, at GayTalk20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com, Tom. Take it away.
I should have turned off her mic. Mm-hmm. Anyway, if you need to reach out to us, just head on over to our website, click on the Contact Us tab at the top of your web browser where you can leave comments, suggest topics, submit a question for the cast, or submit a question for Chris. He's the individual host that gets the most questions.
Bitch, anyway. I just got one. Hello.
I know, you did too. Do you want to talk about that before we go home?
No, let's close it out.
All right. So anyway, you can also call us and leave us a question via voice message. We can answer that question for you on the show. Our phone number is 334-GAY-TALK. Or if you need all those numbers, 334-429-8255.
Please call. Yes. We pay for that shit monthly.
And I probably won't ignore it this time.
Anyway, don't forget that we stream live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, that is our show. Thank you. And y'all have a good night. Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish. Wow, 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 wow.